This is article number 16. If you have, do not have one of the articles of faith, of the statement of faith that our church believes, here's one on the front pew. There's three or four of those left. And you're welcome to pick those up. And when they're gone, we'll get some more made up. And Mandy probably got a whole pack of them anyway already done. She tries to stay ahead on those. And so tonight's message will be on the civil government, how we should react, and what is a government really for. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says, let every soul, I like that, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Okay, let's read the article here that's written down in the Statement of Faith. It says, we believe that civil government is of divine appointment. And we do believe that. For the interest and good order of human society, and that magistrates are to be prayed for, consistently honored, wow, and obeyed. Wow, think of that. Except only in things opposed to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord of the conscience and of the prince of the kings of the earth. And so the message tonight will be consisting of two points. Number one is that we believe that civil government is of divine appointment and that it is in our benefit to listen, obey, and honor them. And then point number two is the exceptions to that rule. That's going to be a pretty simple message, straightforward. The Bible states here in the book of Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul. Now that's lost and saved alike. I know Paul here is writing to the church at Rome, but the fact is that let every soul be subject to higher powers. I think it especially applies to God's children, and especially to the church of the living God, that we might be submissive to the powers that be. And notice the reason for this is in verse 1. For, that is, you could use the word because right there. Because there is no power but of God. Absolutely, that's so. Good or bad? There is no power but of God. Satan would have no power if God didn't give him any. And the government would have no power if God didn't allow it. I'm not comparing government to Satan. Not all the time. Okay. But we do know that men are men. And you know they just captured Saddam Hussein. I got the name started wrong then. I couldn't finish it. They just captured him. And it's exciting that he stopped. It really is. That's just one. There's probably billions of more of them out there. But our government did that. And that is their job. To do that, and they're doing that, and that's a good thing. You see, there's no power but of God. It's amazing. Mr. Hussein, he said he's the new Nebuchadnezzar. Well, he didn't turn out to end so far like Nebuchadnezzar's at all. But we ought to be subject unto the higher powers. Baptists have always believed in being law-abiding. The ones that I know have always believed in being law-abiding. Why? Well, it is because our master believed in obeying the laws of the land. You do not find that Jesus Christ ever rebelled against the Roman Empire. He didn't rebel even when he was wrong. But he always submitted himself to the governments that he had established. And he expects us to do the same, to submit ourselves unto the governments that he has established. Notice this, that since man is a natural lawbreaker, do I need to pause right there? Since man is a natural lawbreaker, he needs someone to rule over him. Think of that. We, each one of us, have too much pride. Okay, I'm putting myself in there just like you. And we do not like it when somebody tries to tell us what to do. Because we figure they have no business doing that. The fact is that everybody needs somebody to tell them what to do. There ought to be a check and balance in everything. And the government is there for us. God has given certain men down through the ages a divine appointment to rule over villages, over towns, over cities, over states and over federal government. Think of that. God has done that down through the years and given this authority to all kinds of different men. Some of them are good men, some of them are bad men. Some of them are righteous men, some of them are unrighteous. Do I make myself clear? I don't have to say anything else, do I? Because sometimes government officials do things they ought not do. But sometimes they do things they ought to do. And we ought to know that that's so. We're not talking about the character of the government official. We're talking about our character. That makes it different. It's easy in this United States of America to speak out against what we believe our government is doing wrong. In some countries, you don't do that. We sometimes don't understand the freedom that we have to speak out against things that our government does. But we should be careful in speaking out against the actions of our government that we don't attack the character of the man in the office unless his character needs to be scrutinized. Okay? We need to be careful about doing that altogether. We need to note that it is God who has worked through earthly leaders. He said there's no power but ordained of God. God has put these kings, God has put presidents, God has put mayors and different people in different places of authority in government. And He expects us to submit ourselves to those. Think of this. When Israel, God's children, were in Egypt, they did not leave. They would not leave until Pharaoh gave them permission. Was Pharaoh a good king? No, he wasn't. As far as dealing righteously with God's children, he was not. But every step of the way, whatever Pharaoh said is what they did. When Pharaoh said, take away their straw, make them look for their own straw, and make them make their bricks and double their work, that's what the Israelites did. And when Moses went to Pharaoh and he says, Pharaoh, when do you want the frogs left? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. And that's what happened. Why? Because Pharaoh was the one that God had put in authority there. And so Moses said, okay. Now, Moses could have caused those frogs to leave right away, but no. As the Dunaway sang, one more night with the frogs. That's what the guy wanted, and that's what he got. He was one in authority, and that's what he did. And so it's just like that. Remember that there's no government authority, whether it's in this Republic of the United States of America, and by the way, we're not a democracy. It irritates me to death when people say we're a democracy. We're not. Amen. I'm going to amen that. Because I believe it. We're a republic. We pledge allegiance to the republic. Okay, I'll just leave it alone then. Okay, I believe that. I mean, I don't... Anyway, that's just a pet peeve of mine. But God has established authorities, whether it's this United States of America and this republic which we live, or whether it's communist China. God has established that. And we need to honor those people. Know that this government is of divine origin. Know that it's so. It's just like that. He says in verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power. Boy, this is pretty strong. Look at that. Whoso resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Wow. Did you ever look at rules and regulations like that? The fire codes that are established in this county are actually the ordinances of God for our good. Whoa. The building codes are for our good. Say, well, they're just a lot of trouble. Yes, I know. But they're there for our good. They are. So all of that's good. The ordinances, they're ordained of God. Whoso resisteth that power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Wow. He says, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Certainly it's so. If not from men, from God. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works. Isn't that amazing? That's what we need to understand. Rulers have not been placed there by God to be a terror unto us, but to the evil. And I know that in some places, godly people are terrorized by the government. I understand that that's so. But that's not the way God ordained it to be. By the way, those governments that would terrorize their good citizens like trying to be Christians, that's under the second part of the message, not this one. Okay, so don't get ahead of me, and I'll try not to get ahead of me either. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. I don't have to be afraid of the government. I don't have to be afraid of the mayor. I don't have to be afraid of the sheriff at Lincoln County or in St. Charles County. Unless I've done something I don't want to get caught doing. Then I'm going to be afraid of that. But otherwise, I don't have to worry about it. I can say, well, there it is. Look it over. I don't care. If the sheriff wants to come into my home and look through it, then that's fine with me. I don't think there's anything in there that it's going to bother him. I'd be surprised if, well, he probably would find something. I don't know what it'd be, but he might find something in there that would, against the law. I don't know. As far as I know, there's not. I'm not worried about it. But to the evil people, but verse 3, will thou then be not be afraid of the power? And we need to be afraid of that authority that the government has. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And that's, you believe that's so? I mean, it has to be. It has to be. It's what God said. That's what God said. It's what must be. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, and the government is established by God for us to good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? He beareth not the sword in vain. Be afraid if you do that which is evil, because he beareth not the sword in vain. He'll go get you. Brother Jim going up preaching at the jail. Those people need to be afraid, because that fellow that arrested them did not bear the sword in vain. He has authority behind him, and you better listen. And they can really make it hard on you. They've got the means to do it. He said, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Paul wrote this to the Romans. Hello. He wrote it to the Roman people under the Roman government, which is not the best government in the world. Verse 5. He says, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So not only do you need to be subject unto the government officials and all the laws and rules and regulations that's there that you can possibly be obedient to, not only because that'll keep you out of trouble, but also because for your own conscience sake, that you know you're to be as upright as you possibly can do. You're not cheating anything. You're not cheating anything. We could talk about taxes. The Bible talks about taxes in another place, and right here it mentions in verse 5. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And it's amazing that verse 6 talks about taxes. It's amazing, isn't it? Boy, if you want to get somebody's dander up, start talking about taxes. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. It's amazing that Paul puts taxes right there. He knows us pretty good, don't he? It's my money, and I don't want you to have any of it. I mean, that's where we are. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually unto this very thing. Wow. The tax collectors are from God. He said, pay the tax. Somebody says, I don't know it. Well, then don't pay it. But if they expect it, pay it anyway. That's what Jesus did. He said, no, that's taking money away from my family. Do we not understand that God can give us more when we do right than the taxes were? Jesus Christ told Peter, said, go down and cast a hook in and get the fish, and when the fish comes up, take those two coins out of his mouth, go pay it. Did Jesus owe it? No. But did he pay it? Yes, he did. God took care of him. Personally, I like deductions, especially when they're mine. Right? Who doesn't? I don't want to pay any more than I've got to pay. But I do want to be righteous in paying all that I owe to the government. So he says, pay it. That's what God says. Verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues, whether local, whether it's state, or whether it's federal. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor unto honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And there we are, that we ought to just simply understand that government has been placed over us by God. And we ought to obey those laws, rules, and regulations that they devise. They should have our best intentions in their mind. Most of the time, they will when they know us. Most of the time, they will when they know us. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3 is a passage just to note in passing concerning how that rulers ought to be. 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 3. The Bible said here, the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And any person that is over anybody else needs to rule in the fear of God. Whether that's government, or whether it's personal, or whether it's in the home, whatever it is, if it's your boss at work, or if you are a boss at work, you ought to rule in the fear of God. Rule as God would rule, and do what God would do. That's what we ought to remember, and do those things. Next, we ought to pray, consistently pray, for our government officials. We ought to do that. And we do that here in this church many, many times. Pray for our nation. Pray for our service boys. Pray for this war in Iraq that God would bless and God would keep. It's amazing to me how many things in a war are turned on a small thing. Last night, I was watching the History Channel, and they talked about the last mission was the name of it. The last mission. It talked about the last mission where there was 129 B-29s went over Japan dropping bombs. They dropped, I forget how many bombs it was that they dropped over the refineries there in Japan. It talked about how they went over there and how they came back. And it talked about how that there were some incidences, and that it was an hour, 30-minute long program, and they told many, many things that happened on the way over and on the way back. Small incidences that caused that trip to be a success. Not one plane shot down. Not one person injured. Although Japanese was shooting at us all over the place. There was another program that I watched concerning right after the war. And how that just before Japan surrendered, that the Japanese army was not going to surrender. And that the whole issue of ending the war turned because of a power failure. And they were looking for the tape that the Emperor of Japan had made already concerning his surrender. And the army captain, or major is what he was looking for that tape, looked all night, and never did find it. It turned, that whole thing turned because of a power failure. You think God's not in that? I mean, He's in a lot of things. See, governments, they're set in action by God, and we need to pray for and consistently honor and obey the magistrates that are over us, whoever they are. Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15. Notice here what the Bible said. And such a simple thing it is. Matthew 22 and verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in this talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought in him a penny. He said unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" They said unto him, "Caesar's." Then said he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Isn't that a simple explanation? Isn't that the way it ought to be? Render unto God the things that belong to God, and render unto the governments of this world the things that belong to them. Simple. Verse 22, when they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And they didn't have any more to say at all. But we ought to pray. We ought to pray. And it's not wrong to pray for our spiritual leaders. It's not wrong to pray for blessings upon us. But I tell you what, it's not wrong to pray for the mayor of Forestdale either. It's not wrong to pray for the sheriff down here either. Or the deputy, whatever they call him. It's not wrong to do any of that. It's not wrong to pray for the state police. That's a good thing to do. I mean, they're in power and they risk their lives to take care of us and protect us. And we ought to remember that. I tell you, they're not always out there just stopping speeders. You know, sometimes they do. I was going to say, sometimes they do good things, but I tell you what, it's a good thing to stop speeders. It really is. Some of them guys passed me up. You know, I'm glad they got a guy sitting down there picking them off. Because if it wouldn't be speeding, you wouldn't have to worry about getting a ticket. You don't have to worry about it at all. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Of course, I tell you, I try to do this. I try not to speed too much. But I've gone down, put my cruise on, going down, and I can set the speed limit, and get in the right-hand lane and have traffic backed up for miles. Now, that's just the way it works. So there's an issue there to deal with. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, here's what the Bible said about just praying for our leaders. And we ought to do this. And honor them in our praying. And don't be looking down on them, but honor them and take care of them and do what we can for them. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." I think that's an interesting prayer. Lord, be with our mayor so that we can meet here in Forestdale Independence Baptist Church and we can be able to worship God. Be with our governor, Lord, that we'll be able to worship you. Be with our president, that the laws will be passed, that we can worship God honorably here. That's a good prayer. I can lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And he goes on with that thought. See, it's good. We ought to pray those prayers. Pray for our governor. Say, "I don't like him." Pray anyway. Pray anyway. You don't have to like him. You don't have to like what he does. You don't have to like what his party is. You don't have to like what he stands for. But we ought to pray that whatever he does, that he will not hinder our worship and our raising our children the way we believe the Bible wants us to raise them. We ought to pray for those people. Ought really to. You know, you think about praying. We got a lot to pray for. Now, I think we need to take more time to pray, don't you? We got a lot to pray for. I mean, there's much, much to be prayed for. Point number two is this. There's actually only one time that we should disobey the authorities. And I want to say right here under this topic, homosexuality is an abomination before God. And I don't care if the government does pass a law and says that that's the kind of marriage that's legal. That don't mean that we got to have them in here. And that don't mean that I got to marry them or they can be using this building to be married in. Okay, now that's pretty clear. I could say it a little bit clearer, maybe louder, but I don't know if I can get it any clearer. But you know, even if they say, even if the government passes that law and says that two men can marry each other, that don't make it right. And I'm not doing it. Lord, give me grace. I'm not doing that. Okay? They say that abortion is legal. That doesn't mean I've got to have one or I've got to condone it. It doesn't mean that. It's still a sin in the sight of God. They can say it's legal all they want to say it. And they have made it legal, but it's still immoral and it's still murder. Cut it any way you want to cut it. When you can go out someplace and take an eagle's egg and break it, and they call that killing an eagle, well, I say that it's murder to kill that baby in its mother's womb. Any way you want to cut it. You run over a deer, a pregnant doe deer, they get you for two of them. I mean, that's the way it is. Brother Jerry talked about some of that. That's the way it is. It's a sin. We don't have to go along with it. We shouldn't be expected to. And if they expect us to, then they're wrong. We're not doing that. That's it. Okay? Now, while we disagree and are so vehement that we will not do it, we still pray for them. We still honor them because of the position they're in. We disagree with the thought that abortion should be legal. It should be illegal. We disagree that homosexuality should be legalized. I mean, it should not. It's still a sin. Adultery. All of those laws on the books that say, oh, they're antiquated laws. They should still be on the books. They want to take them off the books. They can take them off if they want to. That does not make adultery not a sin before God. Okay, it still is. Homosexuality is still a sin. Abortion is still a sin. But we still need to pray for our officials that God would so move upon them that we might be able to lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and in all sincerity and raise our children the way God wants us to raise them. Okay, we need to do that. And when it comes time to vote them out, vote against them. We have that liberty in our nation to do that. We ought to vote against those that are for abortion or those that are for homosexuality or those that are for these immoral things. We ought to vote against them. Get them out. And by the way, if you get a chance to vote against a judge, well, kick him out. He don't need to be in there. Those judges that are making laws, they don't need to be doing that. That's why we got that petition right there. It's been signed and sealed and delivered. There's two more copies here if you hadn't signed one yet. But we can do that, and we ought to do that. But that doesn't mean we don't honor the position that those men hold. We need to do that continually. Book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Here is a case where officials began to tell the early church, there are some things you cannot do. The early church said, we are going to do what God said. Plain as that. Because that's our bottom line. We need to honor all of the magistrates that are over us. But if they tell us to do something against what God says, we do not have to honor that. But remember that we need to honor that one that's saying that. We need to be polite. We can be straightforward, but we need to be polite and not belligerent. I would say not ignorant. You know what I mean. Just don't act a fool. Don't do that. Think of this. Daniel, as a young boy, cast into Babylon, determined within himself he would not eat the king's meat because it was going to be offered to an idol or was already offered unto an idol. He said, I'm not going to do that. So what did he do? Well, he throwed a big fit and picketed. No. Say, well, he took the meat and threw it in the garbage can. No, he didn't do that either. What did he do? He went to the prince of the eunuchs and said, this is my request. And the eunuch said, well, wait a minute, I'm in the tight because I've been ordered to give you that. Daniel said, let's have this, let's do this. He said, okay, you eat your pulse for a while and we'll see how it looks. And by the way, when it's all done, Daniel said, the eunuch said, you don't have to eat that stuff. It's better off this way. You know it's better. So they did. You see, so there's a way of handling things. That's just like if fire marshal comes in here and he says, you have put in $10,000 worth of fire equipment in here. We'll say, well, would you please reconsider? I hope we'd say that instead of saying, you dummy, get out of here. He probably might be a dummy. But we don't want to be a dummy. See? There you go. That's just like when the policeman stops you. You don't say, oh, I was speeding. You were speeding. You had to be speeding to catch me. You don't tell him that. Right? You're in trouble. Or say something like, I thought policemen had to be in better shape than that. You know, you look at him. You don't want to say that. You got to be polite and nice and all that stuff. Because he is the one that carries the rod. He carries it, surely. So, and I said all that, but read what's said here. And as you look at the scripture, look at the attitude of Peter and John as they're told by these Jews who are over Peter and John because of the service in the temple, and you tell them what things they can and cannot do in there. And they have the authority to do that. But you'll see here what happened. Peter and John, in chapter 3, in verse 1, is actually where the story starts. They had gone up here to the temple. They had healed this man that was sitting there at the gate beautiful. And then, of course, the Pharisees laid hands upon him, the chief priests and Sadducees, in chapter 3 and chapter 4, in verse 1. They agreed. They were taught that they taught the people, and they put, in verse 3, they put hands on them, and they put them in jail. Verse 3 said they went to jail for it. It was now eventide. And the 5,000 people had already been believed, and man, it was just tearing them up. So the next day, they brought Peter and John out and asked them in verse 7, by what power or by what name have you done this? They're asking what they're really concerned about here is authority, and they're saying, we have more authority than you, is what they're really saying. Who told you you can do this? And Peter and John are going to reply, and they say, here's it is. Be it known unto you, in verse 10, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, God hath raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And that's all that they could say about it. In verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness. And I want you to see that word boldness there. Now you remember that Peter and John is talking to people that are in authority over them. What does it mean to be bold? A lot of people don't know what that means. A lot of people believe that means to be brash or to be rude. It doesn't mean that. You can be very bold and very meek at the same time. Meek means teachable. And they were. They were very bold, but they were not rude. The Bible didn't say they were rude, said they were very bold. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they said, I don't know what to do with you. In verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So, verse 15, they had a little counsel among themselves. And so they arrived at this conclusion, verse 16. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a noble miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name, or that is, in this power, in this authority. Verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Now, verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, look to see the word said. My Bible says said. It doesn't say yelled, screamed, stomped, jumped, hollered, beat on the table. It said said. Right? Said. They said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they were threatened some more. And they left. But they continued to preach the Word of God. But they were not rude. They were straightforward. They were not rude at all. We need to be careful about that. Acts chapter 5. Well, I've got the wrong passage down there, I know, because it's not turning out right. But what is said in this verse, we ought to obey God rather than men. I think that's probably there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 19 is probably the verse that I had reference to. But that's what we ought to do. It's just not to be rash or ugly, but rather just to say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to keep on doing this. And that's all you can do. We need to be just like that. The reason is, it's because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. You think with me about this. The only time that we can rebel, and maybe the word rebel is a little bit strong. Maybe I should say the only time we can refuse to obey a command of a government is when they say you can't worship God. I mean, we should not. Why? Because God is the King. We worship Him, and He's the one that gave them authority. And God can take care of them when they misuse their authority. Okay? God can take care of them. And we need to make sure that we are right and that we are have a good attitude about it and that we're just simply doing what God said for us to do. Then we can say this. I'm going to do what God said, and God will take care of me. Now you do what you want to do, and God will take care of you. We can say that with confidence. And God did that. The Jews, in this case, were not made to not say anything. They continued to fight. But there was great power that came on the apostles, on the church, and His Word just continued to grow and grow and grow. In spite of the opposition continued. When Paul was called into the ministry, the Jews would go so far as to chase him from one town to the next. But they kept on preaching. And that's what we need to remember, is just to do that very thing. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. Just a couple of passages here. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. And so we should. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through verse 16, just write this down. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 through 16, that God's children are to submit ourselves to every governmental authority because this is the will of God. Simple enough, isn't it? This is the will of God. Remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know if God's going to keep us out of the furnace or not, but anyway it turns out, we're not going to worship that image you set up. And God was with them. Remember that Daniel continued to pray when the law was passed and said, you can't do that. And he was cast into the den of lions and God took care of him. So just remember those things, and God will take care of us because He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our trust is in God, not in legislative processes. Our trust is in God, not in government officials. Our trust is in God, not in the laws of the land. It's in God. He's the one that puts that power there. So just remember that that's so. Well, I'm all done, I think. I'll have to say that sometimes it might grate on us a little bit to have to obey some laws we don't think makes too much sense. And there are some out there that don't. But if they don't hinder our worship, then we ought to just obey those and just go on. God will bless. If you're here tonight and you're lost, I pray that you might see Jesus tonight. I pray that God would bless you and show you what a sinner you are and that you might come to Him in repentance and faith and trusting. Beginning of a new life. I pray that God will touch you. I really pray that God will touch you tonight. Right there where you're at, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent, and believe in Him. Salvation is that gift that He gives so freely. We don't deserve it, but He just gives it anyway. I pray God will bless you tonight. We won't stand if you would. Brother Jim, if you'd sing, come and lead us in this hymn. Let's stand as we sing this song, please.